Praise the Lord. We're so glad that you are here. We've had a great day this morning, and I'm so thankful for you who are also following us online today. It is good to have you with us online today as well. We are one Sunday closer to back to some sort of normalcy. Amen. So we'll be glad when we can finally get to that point. We've been looking at discovering the disciples' path. And presently, we're looking at action of advancement, which is the idea of growth. And believe it or not, that all disciples are supposed to grow in their faith, grow in our walk with the Lord. And so we've been looking specifically over the past several weeks of the Lord's Prayer. And today we come to the end of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And as you know, we have seen that Jesus taught us how to pray, not what to pray. And we've been reminded as we've been learning about the Lord's Prayer as to who He is and who we are and who we are to be as disciples. But what we've learned is that we are to grow as disciples. We shouldn't stay the same. We're not to stay the same. And what we've learned also is that prayer affects how we live our lives as disciples. So today, we're looking specifically at the idea of pray believing, to pray believing. As we think about that, the question then begs to be asked of you as a disciple, just what do you believe? Just what do you believe? What do you believe about the Lord? What do you believe as you walk with Him? And so we're going to be looking, as we've been looking throughout these past several weeks at the Lord's Prayer, we're coming to the end of verse 13, and this last part of verse 13, I'm actually going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Because the last part of what we know as the Lord's Prayer is not found in the ESV. It's not believed to have been in the original manuscripts, but just because it doesn't believe to have been in the original manuscripts, there is still something that we can learn from this passage today. And so we're going to look at Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, where Jesus is speaking, and He says these words, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And that's the part that we're going to be spending the time on this morning, is "For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But before we do, let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful that You are at work in our hearts and lives, that You've been teaching us about what it is to pray, what it is to grow as disciples. You have been working in our lives in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a world that's in turmoil, to shape us, to mold us, to transform us, to be more like You. And Lord, to affect our prayer lives, Lord, to help us to grow as disciples as we pray. Lord, help us today to learn as we think about pray believing and what that looks like for us as we praise You. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way in our hearts and lives. If there are those here today who are in-house or online, Lord, who don't know You as Lord and Savior of their lives, that this would be the hour of salvation. For those of us, Father, who have claimed the name of Jesus, who know You as Lord and Savior, may this also be a time, Lord, where our focus is turned back toward You once again. Lord, that You would reignite the passion of our hearts to be one for the Lord Jesus Christ in all things, in every area of our life, no matter what we're facing in life. But Lord, we pray that You would have Your way in every heart and life, whether in-house or online, Lord, now or who will listen later, whatever the case may be, Lord, may You have Your way in every heart and life. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, what we have here at the end of verse 13 is what's known as a doxology. It's known as a word of praise. And as I said, there are some people who believe that that particular part of verse 13 was added later by a scribe or by the early church, early Christians, since the prayer seems to have ended rather abruptly. And whether you agree with that or not, a doxology or a word of praise is certainly appropriate in all of our praying. It is, and then also this particular doxology that we know as the end of the Lord's Prayer is a good summary to the prayer that Jesus has taught us as what we know as the Lord's Prayer. So let's look at it. And what we want to see this morning as we look at this particular word of praise, this particular doxology at the end of that verse 13 is this, is that praise should be an important part of our prayer lives, and praise should be an important part of our daily lives. Amen. Y'all with me? Praise should be an important part of our prayer life, is also a part of our daily life as well. J.I. Packer said this. He said, prayer and praise are like a bird's two wings. With both working, you soar. With one out of action, you're earthbound. But birds should not be earthbound, nor should Christians be praiseless. So, beloved, the disciple's life should absolutely and will include prayer, but also praise. Prayer and praise. So we're looking at two things. There's two points to today's message if you didn't get the bulletin. The first point has four subpoints, but don't be afraid. It's all right, because the second point has zero subpoints, okay? So we're looking at the first point, first off, which is pray believing with the practice of praise. Pray believing with the practice of praise. And so we see that verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Again, this is a doxology. It is a word of praise. It's praise to the Lord. And all throughout the scripture, we see that there is praise that is lifted to the Lord. All through the scriptures, a word of doxology here and there and everywhere where there's people praising the Lord for who he is. So praise to the Lord should be a part of our prayer, but also it should be a part of who we are as disciples as well. So we're to pray believing with the practice of praise. So again, the question to be asked is, what is it that you believe about the Lord? And if whatever it is you believe, are you praising him for that? So we see the practice of praise in prayer in this doxology, but also as we look through the scripture. And one particular person that we can look to for seeing the practice of prayer, practice of praise in prayer, is in the life of David. When you read through the Psalms, you see that David is very good at offering praise to God. We'll see lament, we'll see question, we'll see him giving petition, but often we'll also see him praising God for who he is. We see him doing that in the book of Psalms, but also in different prayers as well, as we see some of his prayers in the scripture. And one of those places, which is probably the last prayer, if not one of the last prayers, that David prays is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the end of verse 10 through verse 13. And hear what David says in his prayer, which is a practice of praise here for him, where he says this. David says in his prayer, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that's in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that sounds very similar to what we just read in this particular doxology at the end of verse 13. Sounds very close to that. So David here is praying, believing with the practice of praise. So in other words, as David is praying and praising the Lord in 1 Chronicles 29, he really believed that the Lord is who he says he is. He really believed who he is, proven himself to be. And so what does David do? But he praises him. And so we're to pray believing with the practice of praise. First subpoint, praise him that he is the sovereign. Praise him that he is the sovereign. So we see that here in this doxology in the Lord's Prayer. For yours is the kingdom. And then if you go back again to what David had prayed in 1 Chronicles 29, first couple of verses there, 10, 11, we think again about praising him, praising our God, who is the sovereign. He says, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that's in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. We are to praise him, praise our God, for he is the sovereign. Who is the Lord? Who is our God? Beloved, I'm here to tell you, he is the king, and he is the sovereign king. Think back again to what Jesus was teaching us in Matthew chapter 6 again, in verses 9 and 10, where he taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what we learn from that is that Jesus is teaching us is that our Father is the king now, that God is the king now over the throne of my heart as a disciple, and that he is the king who is coming as well. So it is very appropriate to have this in the doxology, that to say, "For yours is the kingdom, O Father in heaven, O yours is the kingdom, O God, for yours is the kingdom, for you are the king." So, beloved, we are to pray believing, as we pray believing that our God is the sovereign king, and praise him for being the sovereign king. Y'all with me? Amen. And so in Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3, again in the Psalms, we see these words where, "I will extol or exalt or lift up you, my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." We are to praise him because he is the sovereign. Praise him for being the sovereign king. And Psalm 24:10 says, "Who is this king of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the king of glory." So the question for you disciples is this, is do you believe that the Lord is the king of glory? And if so, then pray believing with the practice of praise. Because we praise him for him being the sovereign king. We praise him because he's on the throne. We praise him because he owns it all. We praise him because he created it all. We praise him because he is over all. And we praise him because he is exalted as head above all. Amen? And listen, friends, we need this reminder today. We need this reminder in a world of turmoil, a world of uncertainty, a world of anxiety. We need to be reminded, as we pray believing with the practice of praise, to continually praise him that he is the sovereign king. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, "While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes there is a God who has not surrendered authority." Amen and amen, right? You see, friends, listen, there are a lot of words that are being turned loose around social media today, both in public and in private, even among those who claim to be disciples. And the truth is that we really need to do more listening than talking. But if we're going to insist on saying something, beloved, let it be praise to the King. The question is, do you believe that he is the King? And if you believe that he's the King, then let's praise him for it. So pray believing with the practice of praise. Praise him that he is the sovereign. And then the second subpoint is this. Praise him that he is the strong. Praise him that is the sovereign, but also praise him that he is the strong. And of course, in verse 13, we look at this doxology and we see a part of that verse says this, "For yours is the kingdom and the power." Looking specifically at, "For yours, O Father, for yours, O God, for yours is the power." Yours is the power. And we see back at what David wrote, David prayed in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." So we're to praise him just as David did, just as we're taught here, just as we understand, that praise him that he is the strong. We're to praise him, praise God, because he is the omnipotent God, that he is the all-powerful God. In the book of Psalms, verse 33, verse 6 through 9, we read these words, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Oh, beloved, it is quite appropriate for us to think about, for yours is the power, because it's all about him. He is the all-powerful God. Let's think back about what Jesus taught us about his power as we are learning how to pray. Think back to verse 11, where he taught us, give us this day our daily bread. And so that teaches us that we can depend on him because he is the strong one. Because of who he is, we can depend upon him. He gives us what we need. He is the strong provider. He taught us in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So that he gives us, he is the provider, he is the strong one who that we know that we need to be forgiven and to forgive others. He gives us what we need. So he is the strong redeemer. He is the one who saves us and changes us. It's by his stripes that we are healed. He is the one who has rescued us, the one who has redeemed us, the one who has saved us by the cross of Calvary and at the empty tomb. And then as we accept him by faith, he's the one who changes us and transforms us. It's by his power that we are changed for the glory of God. Amen? And so we see that. And then in verse 13, we also see that he's the strong one, as he taught us there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What we understand there is that the Father, the Lord, the God Almighty, is able to guide us and to deliver us from our fleshly desires and from the devil's schemes. You see, we praise him that he is the sovereign, but we also praise him that he is the strong, that our strength is found in him and not in us. For yours is the power, O God. Yours is the power. It's not about my power. I don't have any power, but you got all the power. Amen? And so we praise him that he is the sovereign and that he is the strong. We praise him that he is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He has the power to provide, the power to save, the power to rescue, the power to change, the power to guide, and the power to deliver us. I think about an old hymn called I Will Sing of My Redeemer, and one of the verses in that hymn goes like this: I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me, and on the cross he sealed my pardon and paid the debt and made me free. Oh friends, we praise him because he is the strong one who is our strong Redeemer. Amen? He is sovereign and he is strong. The question is, do you believe that he is the strong, that he is the all-powerful God? If so, then praise him for it. Pray believing with the practice of praise that he's sovereign, that he's strong. And then thirdly, third sub-point, praise him that he is the set apart, that he's the set apart one. Again, in verse 13, in this doxology, we read, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So for yours is the glory. Again, David says in 1 Chronicles 29:13, and now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. So we praise him that he is the set apart. We praise him because he is the Holy One. We praise him because he is the one who is exalted. We praise him because he is the one who is glorious. We praise him because he is the God of glory, that he is the one to be pointed to, that he is the one who is worthy of worship. We think back to what Jesus taught us again in verse 9, where he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Remember that? It's not about me. It's not my name that's hallowed. His name is hallowed. His name is holy. See, we learn there is that we praise him because he alone is God and we are not. That he alone is holy, that he is high, that he is lifted up, that he is set apart, that he is glorified, and that he is exalted. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, we read around the throne that we see these words, and the four living creatures, each of them having with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night, they watch this, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Amen? So we praise Him that He is sovereign, that He is strong, and that He is set apart, that His name is great, and His name is glorious, and that there is no other name that is great but His. As a matter of fact, Philippians 2, 9 and 10 says, therefore God has exalted Him, Jesus, and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The question is, beloved, as disciples, do you believe that He is who He says He is? Do you believe that He is the set apart? Do you believe that He is holy, holy, holy? Then let's praise Him for it. Pray believing with the practice of praise that He is sovereign, that He is strong, that He is set apart. Okay, Pastor, well, you got all those three words there. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So you say there's a four subpoint. What other word could you possibly use here? Well, there is another word. It's forever, right? For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So we praise Him, fourth subpoint, praise Him that He is the same. That He is the same. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Beloved, hear this. Our God has not changed. And so our praise should not change either for Him. Our praise is to continue day by day, and it will continue on into eternity. The question is, do you believe that He is the same? Do you believe that He never changes? Do you believe that He is still King, that He is still powerful, that He is still holy? If so, then praise Him for it. Psalm 106:48 says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And I like this next part. And let all the people say, amen, praise the Lord, right? So we are to pray believing with the practice of praise. Because here's the thing, friends. He alone is worthy of praise. Understand that no man, no creature, nothing created, only the Creator is worthy of this praise and worship. And so pray, the practice of praise is so vitally important in our prayer life, but also in our daily lives. And here's why. Because praise refocuses our attention away from who we think we are. Praise to the Father, praise to the Son, praise to the Spirit, praise to the three in one. We just sang it a minute ago. Praise refocuses our attention away from who we think we are, and praise reminds us of who He is. And it reinforces what we believe about Him. And as we praise the Lord for being the sovereign, for being the strong, for being the set apart, for being the one who is the same, then friends, it bolsters our faith, it helps us to grow, and helps us to move forward as disciples. So pray believing with the practice of praise. Y'all with me this morning? Amen? Practice the practice of praise. Pray believing with the practice of praise. All right, here is the second point. Pray believing with proof of your profession. Pray believing with proof of your profession. Okay, so we got, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So we're done, right? No, there's one more word yet still, and it's the word amen. The word amen. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You see, as we think about the word amen, what does that mean? You get, the pastor says, hey, can I get an amen right there? We say it all the time when we finish our prayer. We don't even think about what amen means. But amen means so be it. It means it is so. It means it is true. And so as we pray our prayer, when we say amen, we're saying, when I say amen, that God has heard my prayer and I truly know it. I brought my prayer before the Lord and now I'm done and I truly know that He's heard my prayer. Amen. So be it. So I pray believing and then I step away with an amen. And so the amen, when we say amen to our prayer, that means that I brought my prayer to You, my Father, and I have trusted You, I have depended on You, I have yielded to You, I have submitted to You, I've been guided by You, I've been delivered by You, I've been convicted by You, I've been challenged by You, and I've been changed by You. Because here's the thing, friends, is that as we go to the Lord in prayer, it's not about us trying to change God who he is, but he is changing us to who he wants us to be. He's changing us. And so I walk away from the prayer with an amen, I have been changed. I pray believing now with the proof of my profession is this. So I pray believing, and now the proof of my profession is that I will live it out today and every day. I'm praying believing in who he is and who I am. And so and the proof of my profession of me believing that is that I'm just not going to speak words, but I am going to live it out today as a disciple and every day. The question for us then is this, is that have we just quoted a lot of words in our prayer, or do you really believe who he is and are living it out? So in other words, do you believe that he is in control? Do you believe that he's able to do more than we ask or think? Do you really believe that he's the one to be pointed to as the one true living God? Do you really believe that he hasn't changed and he is still able to save to the uttermost? That's the question. But too often as disciples, sometimes we will say we believe one thing, but we live another. You know, the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings was dealing with that as well. People who said they believed in the one true God, but they were living after going after the gods of the world, going after their own desires. And so the same thing we can learn from Elijah there then is the same thing we can learn today as well, where Elijah says this in 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came near to all the people and he said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people didn't answer him a word. How we need to hear that today, friends, that if we say and we believe that the Lord is God, then let's follow him as God. Don't limp between two opinions. Limping is like halfway. It's like being weak-kneed. It's being mushy. It's not standing straight or moving straight or standing committed. It's being limping between these two opinions. And so what we learn here is that if the Lord is God, and he is, then follow him. May we pray believing with the proof of our profession, living it out every day. So what do you mean by that? Well, let's look back again at what we talked about. So pray believing with the proof of your profession. So pray believing, and then praise him as the sovereign, and live that out as a disciple. So what does that mean? That means, okay, if you're going to praise him because he is the sovereign, that means you're praising him because you're trusting that he is the king. And if you believe that he is the king, then yield your life to him. Yield the throne of your heart to him as the king. And so pray believing, and we praise him that he is strong. And we need to live that out as a disciple. So what does that mean? Well, that means that if we really believe as disciples that he is all-powerful, then let's trust him. Let's trust him and depend on his power to provide for us and to guide us, to deliver us and to enable us, to strengthen us and to sustain us. We pray believing and we praise him that he is the one who is set apart. So we're to live that out as a disciple. Well, what does that mean? That means that, okay, if we believe that he is the one true living God, that he is the one who is worthy of all praise, the one who is glorious and to be exalted and magnified, that means that we then are to exalt him. That we're to point to him, not ourselves. We seek to give him the glory, not me. We're living it out. And we pray believing, and we praise him that he is the sovereign, the strong, the set apart. If we pray believing and praise him that he is the same, then we are to live that out as a disciple. What does that mean? That means that if I believe that the Lord is the same, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then what I need to do is I'm going to live that out as I'm going to point people to him, because I believe that he's still God, who is still the Redeemer, who is still able to save to the uttermost and still able to give people hope and still able to transform and change people's hearts and lives. Amen? So if I believe that, I'm going to pray believing and I'm going to praise him for that and I'm going to live it out in my daily life. Pray believing with the practice of praise. Pray believing with proof of our profession, and then we will do so until our very last. Amen. Amen? Two things to do. We're done. Number one, be ceaseless in your praise. Be ceaseless in your praise. Never quit praising the Lord. Praise Him in your prayer. Let it become a part of your vocabulary where you praise Him, but also live it out where it's a part of your life. Let praise be the overflow of your life. The question is, do you really believe it? If so, praise Him. Praise Him. And the second to do is this, to be consistent in your profession. Be consistent in your profession. So the first thing is, have you professed Him at all? Have you professed Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you know that He died for you on the cross as the Son of God, took the penalty that you deserved, He absorbed the wrath that you deserved on the cross of Calvary, and He died for you there on that Calvary's cross? That He suffered and He died, that He rose, then He was buried and He rose again on the third day. Have you trusted the Lord with your life to change you and to save you as you've trusted Him by faith? See, that's the first step of being consistent in your profession, is having a profession, professing Him as Lord of your life. But then those of us who are disciples, who've said yes to the Lord Jesus, believing that He has saved us, given our hearts over to Him, trusted Him by faith, then the next step for us is to live that out daily. He enables us to do that, but here's the thing, friends, we are to be consistent in our profession. We're to pray believing and praise Him through how you live your life. And here's the key part. No matter what. To live that out in your life, no matter what. To praise Him in how you live is to be the overflow of your life, no matter what. So whether you have caught the virus or you've been free from the virus, whether you're quarantined or you have just gained your freedom, whether you just got a new job or you just lost your job, whether you just got told that you're no longer going to have vacation or you just got told that you're going to get more vacation, whatever the case may be, as we go through life, friends, here's the thing, to be consistent in your profession and no matter what, to praise Him because He has not changed. He's not changed. He's still the same. And so we praise Him. I love the story. I may have told it here before. I don't remember, but there was one night a fierce desert storm where there was rain, there was hail, there was high wind on a farm out in Arizona. And at daybreak, after the storm during the night, the farmer went out to survey the land, to take a look at his house and all the things around it. And he noticed that the hail that had come had beaten the garden and the truck to a pulp. The hen house that he had blown away, and there were dead chickens scattered all around. There was destruction, there was devastation everywhere. And while he was standing looking out across his farmyard and wondering about what was going to be in the future, he heard something, a rattling in the lumber pile that used to be the hen house. And as he's looking over toward the hen house and seeing what that was in the lumber pile, he noticed that there was a rooster. And the old rooster was climbing up through the debris, and that rooster kept on climbing until he had mounted the highest board in the pile of wood. Well, that old rooster was dripping wet. Most of his feathers were blown away. But as the sun came up over the eastern horizon, that old rooster flapped his bony wings, and he reared back, and he proudly crowed. You see, that old wet bear rooster could still crow when he saw the morning sun. Let me tell you something, friends. We're just like that rooster. We should be as disciples. That it may look like our world is falling apart. It may seem that in general. It may seem that in your own life. We may have even lost everything. But here's the thing, that if we will trust the Lord and believe that He is who He says He is, and we will go to Him in prayer, and as we pray believing, then throw our heads back and crow His praises, I'm here to tell you that it will help us to stay focused on Him and to walk faithfully with Him and to walk faithfully for Him. And we will continue to do that until our last amen on earth. And then we'll keep doing that when we see Him in glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you're here today in-house or online and you've never trusted Jesus by faith, We invite you to know that Jesus loves you so much that he died for you on the cross, that he rose again bodily from the grave. He offers you hope, and that he is there for you, calling you now to come to him. If you're here, we invite you that as soon as the service is done, to go right outside. There will be a tent with a table under it. There's a pastor there who will be glad to pray with you or to pray for you. If you're online, we would love for you to send us an email at info@mpbclife.com. Let us know how we can pray for you or how we can pray with you. Whatever the case may be, we would love to do that. But as we're here, friends, and as we move out into the week, whether you're online or in here, may we continue to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who's worthy of all of our praise. For our God is sovereign, and he is strong, and he is set apart, and he is the same. And let us live it out all the time. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.